Our only hope to stand forgiven is the cross. A week ago, Matt Kelso led us in our time of communion, reading from Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. And as we remembered Jesus and his death for us by taking the bread and juice of the Lord's Supper, we proclaimed the truth we just sang, that we are saved only by grace through the gift of faith. And as Ephesians 2, 9 succinctly says, this salvation by faith is not a result of works, so that no man can boast. And yet, Eric just read James 2, 24. Did you catch that during the scripture reading this morning? James uses the story of Abraham to demonstrate that a man, he says, is justified by works and not faith alone. Did that startle you? James meant it to. Open your Bibles to James 2, where we just read and where we're going to read again this morning. If you don't have a Bible, raise your hand. Some men will put one in your hand. If you don't own one, this is yours to keep. And let's read James 2, verse 24, keeping in mind all that Eric read this morning. You see that a man is justified by works and not faith alone. Finishes in verse 26, for just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. In Romans 3 and 4 and Galatians 3, Paul used the story of Abraham to come to the conclusion that man is justified by faith alone and not works. Right? Romans 3:20 says, by works of the law, no flesh will be justified. As we read last week, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, by grace you have been saved through faith, not the result of works. Yet James says, James 2:24, man is justified by works and not by faith alone. Does James refute or contradict Paul in the gospel of salvation by faith alone? No, the Bible has one ultimate author, God inspiring its writers, and does not contradict itself. And if we look closely, we actually see here that James is not arguing against Paul. He's arguing against a perversion of the message of Paul. And we must be guarded against this perversion also. We'd be wise to consider this warning as we take the Lord's Supper and proclaim this gospel of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone. Let me be clear, James and Paul believe, and all those who have been saved throughout all of history must believe, that the only way to be saved is to put your faith in God. God does not look at your works and weigh them in a scale and see if you could measure up. Like, okay, here's my standard of holiness, and if I get enough good works on this side, maybe they'll balance out. And maybe if we add a little bit of Jesus to your good works, you'll finally be found righteous on the scales of God's justice. That's not the way it works. You will never measure up. Just because, like James says earlier in chapter 2, if you break one law, you're guilty of going against the one God who gave the law, and you are condemned as a lawbreaker. And when it comes to whether or not you and I are righteous before God, the reality is that our good works cannot contribute one iota to that standing. It would be like having the entire oceans of the world and more on one side of the scale, and you're using a little pipette to drip some merit on the other side, hoping if I do enough, it's going to balance. That's futile to the point of just pure stupidity. And according, when we consider the holiness of God and you recognize your standing as a sinner before him, you ought to, by faith, despair of ever trying to measure up. our only hope before that judge is to have a foreign, perfect righteousness credited to our account. A righteousness that isn't your own, given to you, and your sin that condemns removed from you. That's what happened at the cross. God declares those who are not righteous, righteous on the basis of faith and faith alone. He did that with Abraham, right? Remember, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. James quotes that in verse 23 from James 15:6. Abraham believed God, it was counted to him as righteousness. Abraham didn't earn righteousness. He had it credited to his account. And in God's scales of justice, of judgment, where perfect righteousness and holiness are required, our only hope to balance those scales is to have Jesus' righteousness on our side. So when the bread and juice come, if you are a Christian, take it, eat, and drink, and proclaim that 100% of your righteousness, 100%, all of it, is a gift of God by faith, credited to your account from Jesus. God made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You have not added a single work of righteousness to the scales of God's judgment, and you must not even try. If you approach God saying, "Look at my good works, aren't you impressed? Am I righteous enough now?" you have not believed the gospel. Your works do not help justify you. You are not saved on the basis of those works. You are saved by grace alone, through faith alone. But James argues that on the other hand, if you try to approach God with a faith completely devoid of works, saying, "God, credit your righteousness to my account. I believe some true things about you." If you try to approach God like that, that kind of faith, if it has no works to accompany it, is a self-deceived faith. It's not actually faith. It's dead. James is arguing against a perversion of the gospel, not the gospel of salvation by faith. Your works do not contribute to your righteousness. But if you think that you're simply saved because you say you have faith, and yet when your faith is tested, like in this example, you have a brother in need, and you say, "Oh, good luck, I'll pray for you." Or if Abraham had said, "I believe God, but I'm not going to sacrifice Isaac, because how will I have a nation rise from me if I kill my only son?" Or Rahab, when the spies came, "Oh, I believe Yahweh's true, but I'm actually scared of the guys at the door. I'm turning the spies in." If those testings of faith hadn't proven what they claimed to believe, it would prove they didn't actually believe. That workless faith is not the kind of faith that saves. So in 14, James asks, what use is it if someone says he has faith? And you're going to be asked, when that bread and juice comes, you're going to be asked, do I say I have faith? If you say you have faith, take the bread and juice. And if you know you don't, just let the bread and juice pass. This is a time for believers. But test your faith. If you say you have faith, but you don't obey, you might be no better off than the demons. Demons know a lot of true things about God. We read that here in the section. They can pass theology tests. They believe that God is one. They actually know that Jesus is the eternal Son of God, right? Demons gave testimony when Jesus was on the earth. That's the Son of God. They know that he created all things. They know that he's going to judge. The demons actually believe that Jesus was sinless and that he died on the cross. They were there. They saw it. But like you, with a dead faith, they don't trust him. They don't obey him. And unlike you, they have not been given the opportunity, the privilege, to respond to this gospel message. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that if you believe in him, you will not perish, but have everlasting life in him. Demons sinned, no more chances. Everyone here has sinned. But if you put your faith in God and turn to him in repentance and faith, you will have eternal life. But that faith can't merely be an intellectual assent to true things about God, but a faith that proves itself through its works. Not a faith that relies on works or a salvation that boasts in works, but a kind of faith that is actually one that comes from God that will survive the testing of that faith. I must be clear, our works do not win God's favor, but they demonstrate the veracity of our faith in the one who declares us righteous. Paul and James agree, we are saved by faith alone, but that faith is never alone. It's always accompanied by works that demonstrate the reality of that faith. If I hear God's word and I think I have faith, I hear it and I go away and I don't do it, James 1 says, you deceive yourself. Don't deceive yourself. When you have the bread and juice in your hand, think of what you have heard about who God is, about this gospel, and respond in faith. Are there opportunities to obey? Obey. Are there sins to confess? Actually confess them and repent in faith. Are there trials in your life in which you need to trust? Trust. Do you have an opportunity to love selflessly? Love selflessly by faith. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. But that faith must never be alone, meaning apart from works. Faith without works is dead. So men, please serve us. In Christian, as you take the bread, consider, is there any way that this gospel of Jesus needs to affect me where it is not? And then confess that sin to God and by faith walk in repentant obedience. If you do not believe, believe now. And if you don't, let the bread and juice pass. And then I'll come up and lead us as we take the bread and juice together.